As you know, the Gospels often present stories of contrast. If we spend a little time in the book of Mark, we have seen blind Bartimaeus, a contrast to the rich young ruler and the disciples who seek greatness in Christ's kingdom. Today we have another contrast between who Mark calls the scribes and a poor widow. The scene is the collection box in the temple courts. Here in Mark 12, Jesus has already entered Jerusalem on his donkey. He has cleansed the temple because of the unjust selling in God's house. And he has already sparred with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the canon lawyers related to the Sadducees who hung out with the Sadducees. Now, some different scribes take center stage. And who were these scribes? They are also what we call canon lawyer. Now, what that means is someone who looks at the Torah, and says, here's what we need to do, here are the loopholes, here's what you're expected to believe, here's what you don't have to believe, here's what you have to practice, etc. And the Pharisees had their own set as well. So these are tied to the Pharisees. Now, Paul was trained by a gentle and discerning scribe. His name was Gamaliel. That's right. We see him in the book of Acts. And he was trying to be even-handed with the treatment of the disciples. Well, if it's God's will, however we oppose these disciples won't matter. Let's see what happens. So he was more of the gentle sort. However, the scribes today in our gospel are not seen in a positive light. They are the ones who are to be seen by their long robes. And the longer the robe, the more important they were. And they like to be heard by their long prayers. And they devour widows' houses, implying that they took advantage of the poor financially, for the sake of the temple, for the sake of their own system. What follows are two ironic scenes. One we know about, the other comes next week. The widow putting all that she has into the temple treasury. And then right after that, Jesus predicts that the temple, in all of its glory, would be destroyed. And not one stone will be left upon another. So you see the ironic scene. The widow giving everything she has for a temple that won't be standing for very much longer. And Jesus is actually showing here how the scribes exploit the widows by this presence of the widow who gives everything. So we often have this during stewardship season, but it's not about giving per se, but about the tragic reality of the corruption of the temple, the corruption of the Jerusalem rulers, and how this widow is a tragic example of the ones that they pick on. But there are some things we can gain, of course. We are meant to see the contrast between the scribes and this poor widow. The scribes and the widow are contrasts of human and religious disposition. In other words, we see what's in their hearts by what they do. First, the scribes. I'm reading a book called The Path to Sanity by a writer named D. Pinnock, who has studied the church fathers and church mothers and their insight on the human condition. And these ancient writers have various lists on the deadly sins, stuff we love to read about. But how these sins affect human behavior and the human psyche. There's one old, dusty, ancient word that we would all be wise to remember: vainglory. Vainglory. When's the last time you heard a sermon on vainglory? Probably never. Because it's an old school word. It's an old school concept. Here's Pennock's definition. Vainglory gives us a craving to be admired, a fondness for showing off, an urge to boast, an attraction to and compulsion to please leaders, famous personalities, and peers. People pleasing to bring attention and glory to oneself. Enter the scribes. More than simply showing off, they show a craving to be admired. I like that term. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. The Gospels gives us insight on the reason for Jesus' demise among the Jerusalem elite, but in doing so, they also show us the path to take, and in the scribes' case, the path not to take. Do we have, does our world have, does our culture promote a craving to be admired? Yes. Os Guinness says we are in the age not only of the self, but of the selfie. Saint Francis gave everything a name like brother and sister, brother sun, sister moon, brother wolf, etc. Now, he had a name for our human tendency in this vainglory area, what Paul would call the flesh. And I'm not saying a bad words, kids, so don't worry. But he called this brother ass, meaning donkey. Donkey, donkey, donkey. And there's even somewhat of Franciscan trademark, which is a picture of a brother trying to drag a donkey with a long leash. It's the battle against oneself, the battle against vainglory. If there's anything that we have not mastered, but is a welcome part of us, it's brother ass. Do I get an amen? This is a part of the human condition and a particular vice in our culture. Contrast that with our dear widow. Jesus uses her as an unfortunate example of the scribes' exploitation of the people. And yet he marvels at her faith and her faithfulness, and her dedication to God, despite her support of a system that was corrupt. And what was important about her faithfulness? Well, like Bartimaeus, who left his cloak full of all the donations that he got on the side of the road, she gives everything she has. It says 2 copper coins, which is worth a penny. It's actually the Greek word lepsis, which means a fraction of a penny. Not even worth a penny. But it was everything. Now, from Mark's perspective and Jesus' perspective, those who follow Jesus know that they must follow everywhere, anywhere, at any cost. Even if that cost is everything. But to take up one's cross is to be truly free, because you have nothing then to lose. You have nothing then to lose. The poor widow was richer than the ones with much because she was free. She was free because she had nothing to lose. To use a modern term, she was all in. She had skin in the game. She was all in. Are we all in? Are we all in? And how do we know if we're all in? I can tell you that there are groups in our world that are all in for what they believe. Some of them are evil. ISIS has millions of dollars. And they spend millions of dollars to train people to do evil things. But they're all in. They're all in for what they believe. They're all in for the goals that they have for themselves. There's an establishment just down the street, Colorado and Virginia. Now, I often go by there Christmas Eve. I don't know how I end up on Colorado Boulevard on Christmas Eve, but I always do somehow. Their parking lot is always full, even on Christmas Eve. We had our Great Recession, right? Did the Great Recession do anything at all to that place? There's an industry there. Shotgun Willie, sorry. There's an industry there that is recession-free. People will always go there. And so they just keep building and building and building. Now they have a wonderful cannabis shop for all of us to explore. How many levels? Like 5 levels? I don't know. They believe in what they're doing. It might be evil, and it is evil, but they're doing it. Now this widow in the gospel was all in, and it showed. What would it look like for us? How would we spend our time and our money? How would we fill out our pledge cards, knowing that we're all in? How would we expand the way we spend in all areas of our lives? What would it look like to have nothing to lose? Do we have anything to lose? What would it look like for us individually, as families, as a church, etc.? So here are these scribes. Craving to be admired. And here is this widow who is truly free. Amen.